University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments about the issue of the day. Today we're talking about a subject that you've heard me touch on a number of times during the course of the less than 100 years that we've been broadcasting. But the question is, Christian values and political parties, can we see any difference? Is there a change? And that with that question would be, is it possible for a Democrat, socialist, Marxist, communist Democrat, would it be possible for that person that adheres to all of the ideology of their party, is it possible that they're saved? Is it possible? Ladies and gentlemen, my mind goes back to Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. That word exalt means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation. But sin is a reproach, that means a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. We've been witnessing America swimming in sin. We've been witnessing for years America being a dishonor to God and to God's word. We've been witnessing for some time now, prior to Trump's going into office, where Christians were shut out of society, where Christians were being debanked, where Christians were being shut off, shut down on any social media, where Christians and conservatives were being challenged as to giving what the system called disinformation and misinformation. We have witnessed for years where Christians were literally looked at as the scum of the earth by the leadership in the Biden administration and in the Obama administration. A new day when President Trump was elected. This is the reason we're witnessing today such a demoralization, such a damaging view of what is called Christianity and conservatism. We're witnessing today a new era, I believe. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, I'm not saying that all problems are gone. I'm not saying that we have any change in what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18 and following. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. The 20th verse. If they have persecuted you, they will also persecute me. They will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus said, we're going to have difficulty, persecution, and prosecution in the world. God created civil government for the purpose of prosecuting evil and protecting good. But we witnessed under the previous administrations where the administrative process, the governmental process, was the reverse of that. Was to prosecute good and to protect evil and to promulgate and push the growth and development of evil. I'm looking at a headline from Jay Sekulow and the Jay Sekulow's newsletter. Jay Sekulow says, Planned Parenthood is on the ropes, and today we're taking major actions at the U.S. Supreme Court. The Planned Parenthood kills hundreds of thousands of babies and takes over $500 million a year in taxpayer money, and then it runs to the courts to keep the abortion machine protected. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to see an attempt by the President of the United States to shut down the tax money going to the murder by way of abortion that's in America, heavy and still being used today as though it's a, quote, right. The multitudes on the left, Democrats in particular, that say that abortion is the right, R-I-G-H-T, of any woman. That's not in the Constitution. That's not a right by any stretch of the imagination. And hundreds of billions of dollars a year have been going out of the coffers of the taxpayer money out of the federal government into the hands of the murder machines called abortion clinics. I'm glad to see there's an attempt to shut it down. And there are several suits from state governments and from the abortion machine called Planned Parenthood that's still suing the Trump administration to try to overturn his executive orders and to change that. Ladies and gentlemen, going back to the question, is it possible for a Democrat to be a Christian? Is it possible for a Democrat to be a real American? I say no on both accounts. I say no, it's an impossibility. May I say to you, a Christian must adhere to the biblical morals and standards. A Christian cannot embrace the transgender ideology. A Christian cannot approve murder by way of abortion. A Christian cannot support deceptive lies to win an election. There's two cases now, don't know if there are others perhaps, where the DOJ under Pam Bondi has gone in and subpoenaed all the records in Fulton County, Georgia, where President Trump had lost by about 11,000 some odd votes. I believe when the end result is found in that case, I believe you will find that there was indeed, without any reservation, something that was nefarious with the election there. And I'm trying to be very kind. I believe it was a stolen election. I believe there's no question about it that in 2020 President Trump won, not Joe Biden. But I believe God's hand was still sovereign. God's hand is still in the mix. God's sovereignty brought Trump into office for what we're doing, just like with the little book of Esther, perhaps for a time like this. But I'm thankful. But nevertheless, I believe we need to go back and correct wrongs if we can in relationship to that. I believe we have today two different occasions where that is being searched out and trying to make a determination. I know one of those cases happens to be in Arizona. Arizona, where they have subpoenaed the records in one of the major counties in Arizona, and where they're searching for the possibility of fraud that had taken place in it. I'm looking at the headline that says, Trump and Kerry Lake celebrate report that the FBI seized Arizona election records. So many of us have raised the alarm for years. The news of this subpoena gives me great hope that something will finally be done. This writer says, President Donald J. Trump celebrated a report that the FBI obtained election records from Arizona's largest county, a move that follows a federal raid last month on Georgia's county election department. Maricopa County, the site of the reported FBI raid, has been contentious jurisdiction for elections primarily, particularly after Joe Biden beat Donald Trump narrowly in the state's 2020 election. President Trump wrote, great, in a Truth Social post about the report of the FBI demanding election records. The state Senate conducted a forensic audit in 2020 election returns in Maricopa County. State Senate President Warren Peterson, a Republican, confirmed the Senate complied with the federal subpoena for the records and for the audit. President Trump, he said, is 100% correct. This article reads further. Late last week, I received and complied with a federal grand jury subpoena for records relating to the Arizona State Senate 2020 audit of Maricopa County. The FBI has the records. Any other report is fake news. Representative Abe Hamdek, Republican, Arizona, asked Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate the county's election practices last year, according to a post on social media. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the coming together, I believe, of state after state after state, especially in those counties where we all know, we all recognize, and privately many have agreed, were fake, fictitious, phony, fallacious election. This is the reason the SAVE Act that is now before the Senate, waiting for the Senate to move on the SAVE Act. By the way, just yesterday, President Trump, I'm not signing any other bills. I'm not signing any other laws into play until the SAVE Act is passed. The SAVE Act, where some have said on the Democratic side, where the president just wants to control the election. No, he doesn't. President Donald J. Trump wants to have an election across America that will be safe, secure, and not fraudulent in its election. What does the SAVE Act do? It requires a person to have an identification and proof that they are, in fact, citizens in America. I think it's time we do that. I think it's time that everybody embrace it. But, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party has not done so. Good news on the horizon. I'm looking at the picture of a young lady and a statement that she posted. I believe it was on Facebook. She says, I'm quoting now from her post, I regret ever being a part of the Democratic Party. I regret working for their campaigns. I regret all my activism. I regret volunteering for their party. I regret all the lies that I believed. But that was before I believed in God. You hear what she said? Let me read that once more and then make some comments. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. The point that I make, can a Democrat be a Christian? My answer is no. Can a Democrat be a real American? My answer is no. Because all they do and all they say and all they adhere to is antithetical to Christian theology, biblical practice, and values. All that they say and do is antithetical to and illegal against the Constitution of the United States of America. If you don't believe that, look at what Ilhan Omar is doing. Look at what AOC is doing. Look at what a number of others, Bernie Sanders and others, are doing. Let me read this again. This young lady, don't know the age, looks like maybe 30 years old. I regret ever being a part of the Democratic Party. I regret working for their campaigns. I regret all my activism. I regret volunteering for the party. I regret all the lies that I believed in. But that was before I believed in God. Ladies and gentlemen, when a person says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, they become a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us. So the question is, if you're listening and you're wondering, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, have you become a new creation in Christ? Have old things passed away? Do you still like to use Bud Dummer, Miller Lowlife, go to the bars and the lounges, chase skirts, lie, cheat, steal? Is that still part of you? If that's still part of your life, and that's still part of the life of most, if not all, of those that claim to be Democrats, if that's part of your life, you need to check up and see if you're saved. If that's part of your life, you need to recognize there's a need to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And unfortunately, that's what we find in what I call the totality of the Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, a Christian cannot support deception and lies. A Christian cannot cheat on an election ballot. A Christian cannot go out and campaign to have phony, false, fraudulent mail-in ballots, etc. A Christian cannot embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. The Christian cannot compromise, which now is called reaching across the aisles. Listen. I get a little wary. My bride can tell you I get bent out of shape when I hear some of the Republicans even talking about the fact that we try to reach across the aisle. We try to negotiate. You know, it's called compromise biblically. Take a stand. This is my admonition for anybody in the political arena. Take a stand for biblical values. Take a stand for truth. Take a stand for what God says is required for the Christian life. Take a stand for it. If you lose an election, wonderful. If you win the election, it's because God's doing it. Not because you've had to manipulate the system. Not because you've had to bow and bend and compromise your values. That's my mantra. That's my statement. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the 20th chapter of Exodus, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." Democrats believe in murder by way of abortion. If I didn't have anything else to go on other than that, I would say it's impossibility for a Christian to be a Democrat leader, a person in the Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some in the Republican Party. I understand that. Republicans are not perfect. Republicans, being a Republican doesn't mean they're all saved. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a massive, major tectonic change taking place, I believe, in what is called the Democratic Party today. Listen, there are those that believe in the transgenderism, believe the Democrats that believe in butchering healthy body parts are okay. I'm looking at a headline, "Transgender Ideology Drives Away Longtime Democrats." Let me read you out of a 5-page article. Let me read you 3 brief paragraphs. A lady, I'm not going to call her name, used to describe herself as a typical purple hair, pro-choice, live and let live type. The California resident was previously in a relationship and supported abortion. So in 2020, the choice was easy. She voted for Joe Biden. Later, this person, without calling her name again, supports the Democratic Party evaporated. Listen, her support for the Democratic Party evaporated when her then 13-year-old daughter announced that she was gender fluid. For the next 5 years, public school officials, psychologists, family therapists, child protective services pressured her to accept her child's new identity and her new pronouns, even prompting a welfare check from the local police. When she and her husband refused, the ensuing battle over how to address their daughter's mental health and gender identity upended their family. Quote, "I was very leftist. Everybody was doing their own thing. But as I've watched this take hold in our society, I'm seeing the consequences of not saying, no, this is not okay. This is too far. And I have reverted to so far back. Now it's just the point where I can't not be a Democrat. In fact, I can't ever vote Democrat again." Ladies and gentlemen, this article kind of closes. She's one of a growing number of Democrats whose disenchantment stems primarily from their party's support for the transgender policies in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts? Do you believe a Democrat can be a Christian? Do you believe a Christian can be a Democrat? Do you believe a Democrat can be a true American and go outside the four corners of what's called our Constitution? Ladies and gentlemen, a Christian cannot compromise. A Christian, ladies and gentlemen, can not embrace Islam and call it a sister religion. A Christian will approve and embrace anything that will allow Jesus to be dominant. The scripture says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, food, clothing, and shelter, shall be added unto you." Matthew the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse. Unit of thought beginning with about verse 19. The left page, the right column in my Bible. Yet there are those today who say, "Well, you know, I've got to do this to stay in office. I've got to do this to be reelected. I've got to do this to be embraced by my own party." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that a Christian stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and no longer embrace that which is unbiblical, unholy, ungodly, unchristlike. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a super article here, and I'm not going to call the lady's name. But the title of the article says, "Quitting the Democratic Party." Listen to this carefully. A Democrat serving in the Michigan House says she will not seek re-election and plans to step away from the politics because of her Christian convictions. Now, I want you to listen to this through the ears of what I've said for years and years and years of my belief that it's an impossibility for a Democrat to be a Christian. She further says, she represents the Detroit area. She said she can no longer reconcile the Democratic Party platforms with her faith in Jesus Christ. Quote, "For me, it is impossible to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ while remaining a member of the Democratic Party as it exists today." Listen to her statement. "I cannot reconcile the party's platform with Scripture," she said, pointing to the issues such as abortion and the debates surrounding gender and marriage. She spoke candidly about her personal spiritual journey. Quote, I have compromised my relationship with Jesus too long, and I'm grateful that God did not give up on me. He gave me time to repent. He gave me time to turn and to fully be devoted to Him. She made clear that her decision is not strategic, but spiritual. I will not be seeking re-election for this office. I will not be running for any office ever again. This is not a political calculation. It's a spiritual decision. She said that she and her husband attends church and that the ministry has played an important role in strengthening their walk with Christ. My husband and I attend church, and the ministry has helped shape our walk with Jesus Christ. After receiving criticism for her announcement, their focus remains to be, quote, obedient to God rather than public opinion. Quote, those who understand, understand. Those who do not, don't. At the end of the day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My responsibility is to stand for truth, to walk in obedience to Jesus, not to win approval. I don't need to justify my convictions. I answer to God first. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that summarizes all I've said today. I believe that summarizes the truth of where we are. I believe James is on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Terrific show as usual. So this is Jim C, I guess Jim 2, to the Jim self, or Jim S, and the first Jim caller.
Yes.
But anyway, I was going to call in and answer your question if I could. I think it's got to be extremely difficult for a Democrat to be a Christian. Although, you know, we don't want to stand in judgment. It's not our place, obviously. But, and where did Jesus go? He went to the sick and to the sinners and to the, you know, as he said, you know, I didn't come to heal the healthy. I came to heal the sick. So I think as believers, I think our goal, what we're charged with, is to try to make as much of an impact as quickly, you know, a sense of urgency to get through to these people. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think that when someone's young, especially, that the world is coming at them at the speed of light and then some, and they can be lulled into this, I guess, feeling of immortality, or I'll get to that, or, you know, then 2 seconds later, this next flashing light or next AI thing comes at them, and they think this or that, and they think they've got it, kind of thing. And as we get older, we realize that's absolutely not true. And I would just tell you that the Democrats, the older ones that have had a chance, I think that's going to be difficult, really difficult. And I wouldn't want to be close to them on the way to the judgment seat. But I think the younger ones, we've got to, and of course, don't give up on the older ones, but on the younger ones, we really have to have a sense of urgency and surround them with godly people that don't just talk a good game, but actually walk it, even more importantly than just talking about it.
Absolutely.
I'm getting ready to listen to your prophecy, the latest sermon that you did. I'm getting ready to listen to it again for the third time. And unbelievable information about that prophecy. And I noticed that there's a notation. That was part one. So any of the listeners, get caught up. If you didn't hear him preach it live, go to his website and listen to it, and have a lot of your questions answered. And there was a lot of great calling out of some of the quote-unquote influencers of today's, you know, and I won't throw no names or stones, but there's a lot of influencers out there that have gleaned a lot of power with a lot of people through that device, that radio. And the good voice, obviously, needs to prevail. So you're
Thank you for those comments, James. And one of the things that some of our listeners may not be aware of, from the pulpit Sunday, I preached a message called Panorama of Prophecy. And it was called Part 1 because the totality, I think the total pulpit time Sunday morning was an hour and about 10 minutes. And when I first preached that total panorama, it was 3 hours in the pulpit. We took that and put it into a transcript form, molded it into what is now, and we have it at conservative.edu in the bookstore. It's called The Panorama of Prophecy. It is It is from cover to cover, covering everything about prophecy in the Scripture. It does not go into depth about some of the things that I was able to do Sunday in relationship to Iran, old Persia, what is taking place, the background of Persia, et cetera, et cetera. And I think Christians
need to understand. And the argument of the three to the four temples, that got me. Because a lot of my friends have gone back and forth over the three to the four temples, and this is what's going to happen and why. But it's wonderful because I have people that normally were very quiet about their faith really getting verbal and vocal about it a lot more and passionately, you know, this is why this is happening. Or, no, I think it's this. So
Jim,
it's good.
I'm thankful that it's a blessing. Thankful it's a blessing, and I invite our listeners, if you want to listen to that message, listen and watch. It's on YouTube. You just go to First Conservative Baptist Church, go to the YouTube account, and watch it. We've got about 1,000 messages out there, so they can kind of scroll down and listen day after day after day, and we invite our listeners to do so. James, let me ask you a pertinent question with the closing remarks today. This individual that I read the article, she says, for me, it is impossible to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ while remaining a member of the Democratic Party as it exists today. She says, I cannot reconcile that platform, referring to the Democrat platform, with Scripture. She said, pointing to such issues as abortion and transgenderism, etc. How do you respond to that? Should we be praying as Christians, praying to God, open the eyes of the Democrats, open the eyes of those on the left, open the eyes of those that have been deluded and deceived by this demonic warfare that we're in? What is your posture on that? What are your thoughts for our listeners' edification?
Your answer, hallelujah and amen. So somebody was making a bad choice and now has a good choice and has woken up, you know, wake up, sleep, or arise from the dead kind of thing, and is embracing the gospel, is a hallelujah and amen, praise God moment. And one of the things that I think people maybe hesitate about, and hopefully good Christians don't do, is when somebody finally kind of sees the light like that, you may get some of their cohorts or coworkers going, oh, you're one of them now, or you're doing this now. So there needs to be an embracing of those people and then preparing them, because the minute you choose Christ, you've got to start learning about the full armor of God, and you've got to start learning about the fact that you're loved by the Most High God, and you're loved and you're accepted, and you're now part of their family. You've been adopted into the family of Christ. So that's the best and better news, but you're going to, on earth, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
Jim, here's a closing statement for yours and for the listeners' edification. This writer says, I have compromised my relationship with Jesus Christ too long. I'm grateful that God did not give up on me. He gave me time to repent, to turn, and to be fully devoted to Him. And I say amen and amen. I'm thankful for that. Jim, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay.